I'm thankful for another opportunity for us to meet together. Another opportunity for the Lord to visit with each of us. And that's what my desire is. Except the Lord build a house, we'll all labor in vain that build it. But I'm thankful that He's not interested in our services being in vain, but He's interested in us being able to receive something from it, be able to go out of here and live a life more pleasing to the Lord out in the future is His desire. I have a verse that I'd like for us to start with in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and starting in the 16th verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it's got a purpose for it, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture has a purpose for it. It may be for me to be able to learn from someone else's mistake. You know, that's the best ones for me to learn from. Yes. Not to have to plow through it myself. I know they made the mistake years ago and they had to pay for it this way. And now I'm going to see if it's still got the same price tag to it. No, the best ones are to learn from others and be able to profit from those. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, what I would like for us to look at today, the topic that I would like for us to look at is the power to choose. The power that each one of us have to make choices. And I've got two people that I want to start with by looking at the power that they had to make choices. We looked at one of those earlier in the week, and that was Aaron. When Moses went up on the mountain, Aaron was left behind to guide the people. And we know what he did. And often when I look at it, I think, Aaron, what were you thinking? But I'd like to add a little something that I think is important this morning. You know, just a few chapters before we find this in Exodus 32, where he made the idol for him, in the 24th chapter, it says that God called for Aaron, for Moses, and not just for them, but for 70 elders to come together. And in that chapter it says these people all saw God. Now, not a physical being, but something that would impress them, God is in this place. They saw him. So now when I go to blame Aaron so short a time later that he assisted the people, have you ever thought of what kind of pressure he must have been under by the multitude of people that was around him? Up, make us a god. We want something like we have seen before in Egypt. Make us a god. You know, I'd like to blame Aaron completely. He does take a lot of blame. But then I thought this morning, you know what? There were 70 elders that could have said, stepped up to the plate and said, Aaron, we just saw God just a few days ago. Come on, we'll all stand together. We'll all go together. You know, it's important today that we stand united. I got your back. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear. You know what? It needs to be that same way when there's temptation come to a person. We're right there to support them. You can do it. God has been here with you in the past, and He can help you in the future. So we see this with Aaron, and I have a little more mercy on him now than I had before. It's true, he should have stood alone and said, I'll die by myself. But you know, he had other people with him that had seen God for themselves too, that would have sure made it easier for him if they would have stepped up to him, and maybe even to have some backing to be able to tell the people, stop a minute, let me tell you what we saw. Let's rehearse what we saw. This God, you can't make him out of gold. He's not to be able to, you can't make him that way. Well, they didn't. But then I thought of another part that I have not thought of before. And that was, Moses was not the only one that came down out of the mount. Joshua was with him, his servant. You know, Joshua saw all that was happening. In fact, Joshua was the one, as they were coming down, he said, "What is that noise that I'm hearing? It sounds like the noise of maybe a battle." So he's hearing all this. He's seeing all this. He was there to hear what Aaron had to say about not taking responsibility for his actions. Because you know what? I believe Joshua was there in that meeting with God himself, because God said, "Moses and Joshua coming on up." You know what? Joshua did something with what he saw. He carried it for many, many years. And one day he was in a responsible position. He's in a place where people can now make a choice of their own, whether they want to serve God or whether they don't. And I'd like to look at that verse. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, does he say, "Well, majority rules. If y'all say we do it, we'll just start worshiping idols"? No. On down in the 14th verse of the 24th chapter of Joshua, he's telling them, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. But should they not decide to do it," he says, "if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But I love this next part. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, we're living in a time where there can be a lot of pressure from family, from friends, from the world around us, that we need to conform. You need to join up. You know, we feel the pressure today just of the things for transgender. It's no longer accept it, it's endorse it. And this is the time we're living in. But you know what? Here's this. He has a choice to make. Joshua does. He's also given them a choice. "You choose this day whom you'll serve. But your choice is not going to affect me if you decide to go on with the world." You know, each of us are going to have that determination. Though everyone around us should go with the world, we're going to have to say, "As for me and my house, those things that I have control over, by God's help, we're going to serve the Lord." You know, there were people, Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses." I think those witnesses were not just the ones from Hebrews 12 and 1, but if we would take the whole Bible and go through it and take a look with the desire to find out the choices that this person made and where did those choices take them. And now sum it all up and say we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And I think those cloud of witnesses are not just people that made right choices. I think that cloud of witnesses are also involving people that made wrong choices. That is telling us, let it cause you to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. One of those people that made a choice, you would think, well, if I could have all the information, if I could have all knowledge, I could make all right choices. And one man did it. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon, the man that God spoke to in a dream more than once, had communication with God. God was so pleased with the response that he got from Solomon. When he said, "You ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you," he was so pleased with his response that, "Lord, what I need is, I'm just a child. I don't know how to lead this people. I need some wisdom." And he was pleased with that. You know, Solomon had to keep on making choices. Solomon was still making choices when the Queen of Sheba came and saw how he lived his life. And she was so impressed. There was no more questions in her. In fact, said she watched how he went up to worship the Lord. I wonder what that would have been like. I don't think he went as an equal. I think she was able to recognize the power that Solomon had and yet the humility when he went up to worship God. And it impressed her so much. You know, we can make a lot of right choices in our life. We can list a bunch of right ones in the early part of our life. But you know what? We got to make right choices all the way to the day we draw our last breath. And somehow, Solomon failed to do it. And it tells us clearly what happened to him. How he could have come to a place where he thought he was different than the others when God gave the commandment, don't marry, don't give your sons to their daughters, don't give your daughters to their sons, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to draw your hearts away from me. And Solomon still married into those people. You know, we have the verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. I think we could say never lean to your own understanding. Take it to the Lord, because I could see Solomon. He married the king of Egypt's, Pharaoh's daughter. You know, that'd be a smart move to make. Because when you start having children, grandpa ain't going to come fight you anymore. And so that's a wise thing to do. Start making some agreements between the countries around you. But there was only one problem. God had said, here's what's going to happen if you do it. So we see Solomon making some choices and the end that came from it. You know, Solomon was visited more than one time. Solomon was the one that finished the temple. And Solomon was so humbled by it, instead of saying, God, I tell you what, you ought to be some kind of happy to get to live in this nice place. Instead, where Solomon saw it, Lord, the heavens and the earth cannot contain you. How much can this little place right here contain you? He had such a realization of who he was and who God was. And you know, at that point, God met him again and he told him, I want to be with you. I want to be here in this place forever. But he said, you know what? There's a condition. You know, there was no condition on the first part, on the first prayer, first time that Solomon met with God. There was a condition on the second one. While you are with me, I'll be with you. Said, if your heart turns away from me, then I'll turn away from this place and people are going to say, what happened to this place? And it will be found out it's because they turned away from me. And Solomon continued to turn. We can learn from his examples. I can remember mom and dad, when I was a child, pull out the storybook and start reading to us stories of people that made choices, made decisions in their life. If we were to go back to the first chapter of Genesis, and we see where God spoke things into existence, and things that continue today just like they were from the beginning, he spoke them into existence. He had things where he said it all obeyed his order, said he had trees that yielded fruit after their kind. This seed bearing was going to yield fruit after its kind. The animals that he created did just what he had planned for them to do. And then God created man. Said he created him in his own image. Well, we know that God doesn't have an image like a man does. What was his image? Think about the love of God. I think what he wanted was man to be able to portray that love. It's almost like, as I look at what he did with Adam and Eve, it was almost like his desire was, I'm showing you my desire. I need a friend. I'd love to have a friend. I want to make you a place to where you will enjoy it so much that your heart wants to come back to me with thanksgiving for what I've given you. There's a verse in Jeremiah 31:3 that I think shows us the heart of God. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I think it was loving kindness that was causing God. It says he planted the garden. It wasn't like he just spoke and here's some things sprouted up. It's almost like he's saying, I spent some special attention to this spot of ground right here because I wanted it to be special for mankind. maybe God's way of saying to them, I love you. And now he wants them to say back to him, yes, and I love you too. You know, it's easy to say with our mouth. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, I can talk about love a lot. I can say I love God. But you know what? When he takes a look at my actions, the choices that I will make tomorrow and the next day that will either draw me closer to him or cause me to drift farther from him. So for them to be able to love him in return, there's got to be a choice. You know, without a choice, I'm really not showing how much I love somebody. They had a choice. So he planted right in the middle of it a tree of life. And he also planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now comes choice. If we could just realize in our choices, what I'm doing really is telling God how much I love him. Especially when I know what his command was. And if she had a clear understanding, Eve did, of what the command was. Because when Satan came to her in the third chapter, she came back with a clear understanding of what God has said. He said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of this tree, don't eat it. And she even said, don't touch it, lest you die. So she had a knowledge of it. But I thought of something else. God's desire for us to show our love to him in the choices, he didn't plan it to be, okay, I'm going to make all those choices look so bad that you won't want them anyhow. You know what he did with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When she looked at it, it was a tree desired for food. It also had the perfect look to it that it could make me wise. Now, what kind of tree could do that? There was something going on in her mind. But you know what? God allowed that tree to have the look that when the heart starts turning, yes, there's right. Something to cause it to look attractive. Moses recognized it himself when he said, there are pleasures in sin. You know, we would be foolish to say there are no pleasures in sin. But you know what? We'd also be foolish to not finish that verse out. There's pleasures in sin, but they're for a season. And then there's a payday coming for them and for us. So I think of choices. When Eve made that choice and Satan told her, you will not surely die, she didn't fall over dead when she tasted the fruit. And when she went on and gave it to her husband and he did eat. But you know, along with choices that we get the power to make, come consequences that we have no power to be able to adjust. God makes the consequences. She had no idea, I don't believe, what the price tag would be for her choices. You know, many times out in the world, people have no idea what this choice, what this thought that I allow to continue could take me into. Surely she had no idea this choice is going to cause your family to be in the place that you will have one son that kills another. You know, if Satan would have told her, let me just lay it all out here for you to be able to make a good choice. You are going to be put out of this garden. You will not be allowed to enter again. Your son will kill another son because of choices, directions you have taken. It wouldn't have looked the same to her then. You know, we can have choices in our own life today that we're not able to see the end of. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. We need the Lord to help us with our choices. Because when I read there at the end of it, when they were put out of the garden, you know, it seems like it would have almost been a blessing to them if the garden were destroyed right there. It just burned up in fire and there was nothing left. The garden remained, probably as a reminder to them, to look over into it of what I could have had. Because it says that there was a flaming sword that protected the entrance to keep them from coming back in and eating of the tree of life. So it means it was still there growing for some time as a reminder. When I look at these places, we've lived a long time. People have lived a long time since those places. And yet we still have choices that we make every day. And we can still take a look at warnings that have been given. In Deuteronomy is one that applied back then, and it still applies to us today. Lord, help us to make right choices. 30 and 19 of Deuteronomy. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And there's a reason the call is there. Choose life. Because it's not going to be just for you. When I choose life, it passes down to my family also, giving them a better opportunity to be able to choose life also. Choose life so that both you and your seed may live. There was a man that did choose life. Noah lived in a wicked time. And when I look back at that, I think, okay, we live in a wicked time ourselves. But it seems like he plowed through it by himself pretty much. To get the call from God, I would destroy it. But I tell you, I want you to make a boat. It's going to take a long time to make it. I'm going to give you clear instructions. You know, there's something for us to remember. God gives clear instructions. That's what holds us accountable. Because I can't say, Lord, I did not understand that instruction. Even though it was some complicated things that God told him, I want you to build it out of this type of wood. I've gone down to the Creation Museum and I looked at that structure and how many trees that must have taken. If you had a Home Depot right next to it, it would be a huge undertaking. But his was to go get the tree, only this certain tree. Pass up the oaks, pass up all the other kind of trees that could build it also, and do this just because I said to do it. And Noah took that instruction and he started on it. You know, his life gives me so much instruction for mine. Because we can live 80 or 90 years ourselves under one instruction. Follow the Word of God, and you'll be blessed and make heaven your home. And all these calls, you think of how many people had to have come by, especially as that structure starts taking shape and they start realizing what he's doing. How would you ever take a structure that size and even be able to move it to water? You couldn't do it. But he says, I won't need to move it to water. God says there's coming a flood. And there had never even been rain before that. You know, we have never seen what God says is coming to us either. That the end of all things in 2 Peter, that this that we know today, the temporal things that seem to be so valuable to me today, will be burned up. When something's burned up, there's nothing left to it. And yet we're told, kind of like Noah was, this is going to happen. Now regulate your life, knowing that. How do we do it? Do we say, okay, I tell you what, temporal things, I'm through with those. I'm going to just sit here in the chapel and wait for it to happen. You know, that was 2,000 years ago that we read about 2 Peter's warning, and yet it's still going to happen. I need to regulate my life just like it's going to be tomorrow, so I will be ready for that day. Noah got the instruction and started out. Over 100 years later, he's still building. Because God said, a flood's coming. I think there's a lot of lessons for us. Thus did Noah. Despite what all the world around is doing, what all the world around is saying, Lord, help me to keep building according to the pattern that you have given me. You know, holiness is still in the pattern. No matter how far the world may go away from it. You know what? One man, one woman for life is still in the pattern. We're living in a time where good is evil now. that evil is now good. It's been all switched around. But I tell you what we can do in our choices. I want to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I still love you. I still want to show you. Here's how I get to show you my love. I'm obeying the commandments that you send to us. Another person was Joseph. We read his story. Joseph made a lot of choices. You say, well, no, he didn't have many choices. A lot of them were made for him. Joseph made a lot of choices in his mind. He didn't have much control over what happened to his body. When he was, if you looked at a list of his life, a dream, a pit, Potiphar's house, a choice, and he made right choices all along. You know, he could have, from the very beginning when he's in the pit, have a root of bitterness start with his brothers. Especially when he's taken from the pit and he's so happy, thank you for letting me out of here. And then he sees money changing hands and realizing, I've just been sold as a slave and I'm headed down to Egypt. Probably never see my family again. I don't know how long it was to Egypt, but it was long enough that he had lots of time for thinking. And now he's sold as a slave. You know, it's amazing how God follows after people that follow after him. He caused his life to prosper, which also caused Potiphar to prosper. And Potiphar saw that, lifts him up to a good position, but Potiphar's wife comes along with a temptation. It's a choice. Dad's not around, nobody else is around, but I love what his answer was. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against Dad? He didn't say nothing about Dad. Dad's gone. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So you know what? In the middle of all these choices that he's making, he's not making them now about what Dad might think about it. Dad's gone. He's been gone now for quite a while. May never see him again. Doing this because I've got a relationship with God. Don't want to hinder that relationship. I believe that's what caused him to be able, when he was put in prison, to be able to be the best prisoner he could be. Because you know what? God's in control of all this. We don't find him at any time saying back to God, kind of like Job did, I want to have an audience with God. Instead, Joseph, I think he just committed his tomorrows in God's hands. And what can I do now to be a help to someone else? And in prison, it wasn't all about him and the things that were happening to him. He could reach out to help someone else that had a dream, had something happen, and be able to help them out. We're able to see his life summed up. When he now has the opportunity, he's in front of his brothers, and now he can even up the score. You know, he could have, even in all that time he was in prison, have made a list of people that in my mind, if nothing else, I'd like to settle a score with. And Potiphar's wife could have been one of them. But instead, I think he committed all those things to God and continued faithful before him. I think it's a very important thing for us. To where when he stood before his brothers, he could have had a whole lot of things to say. They were fearful. But you know, he calmed that so quickly. It wasn't you. It was God that put me here. You know, Job did that. God gave. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. You know, the Lord wasn't the one that took the camels. You could put a name on the people that took them. But instead, Job, I think that helps with the choices, is to just cast all that on the Lord and say, Lord, you allowed this trouble to come into my life, and now I commit it to you. Help me to make right choices with them. Because it comes on down where Jesus left us some examples too. He had some choices to make in his life, and some examples that he gave to his followers. You remember where he was not treated well, was not welcomed into a city of Samaria. Did he say with the two disciples, I tell you what, let's just burn it down? No. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, sometime today, I can feel that kind of thing rise up Lord, it's probably about time for you to bring judgment on these lifestyles and these things that are going on. Lord, help me to commit those things into your hands. Because with all the things that happened to Jesus when he hung on the cross, you know what? He had a choice of the things that he would say then. You know, because there were high-ranking Jewish officials that said to him, "If you be the Christ, come down, save yourself, and we will believe." Well, you know, there'd be some things want to rise up and say, "I'm not going to say it now, but I'll meet you one day." Because you know what? When Christ left this earth, he went back to be the judge of all people that ever leave here. He saw the one that said, "If you be the Christ, come down and I'll believe also." But instead, what did Jesus say? Had a little talk with his father again. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We sing songs. I would like to be more like Christ. You know, we can put all that over in a compartment for Sundays and Wednesday nights. But you know what? I'd like to be more like Christ when people come against me. I would like to be more like Joseph was able to live his life. Talk about a root of bitterness. A lot of that happens in our mind when we have a lot of time. And you know what? He had a lot of time as he sat in the prison cell for something he did not do. That little root that Satan would love to have planted in his mind could have grown up to be a huge tree before he came out of there of unforgiveness. But he chose not to let it happen that way. So I think of Christ, a lot of things that he could say. But instead he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And I remember Stephen. You know, he was being like Christ when he was being stoned. He could have easily told him, "Go ahead, you're going to pay for this." Well, what did he say? "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." You know, we've got some choices that we'll be making in our life, because life is not going to always treat us well. But I've got a choice of what I do with it. I have another verse that I'd like for us to look at in Romans. Romans 12 and 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him." You know, that's so easy to read. "If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And I look at one more example in the Bible, one that is so easy to pass over. It's in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. It tells us about a man named Naaman, a mighty man. Had leprosy. And he also had a little captive that he had taken in one of his excursions. You know, there's so little said about that. But I just look at our children. That's a big event. That's somebody's little daughter that he took. With the thought of giving a prize to my wife when I get home, she'll be her slave. She can do whatever she wants her to do. You think that little girl didn't have a mind to think on some things? Probably fear, first of all. But something happened in her that is amazing to me. When she sees that he has leprosy, and he may be the one that was responsible for taking her and bringing her home. When she sees that he has leprosy, she says, and you know, this is where we need to be real careful. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In Proverbs 4 and 23. Because she had some things that issued out of her life. You know, it could have been so easy for her to say, huh, I knew that was going to come. God avenges himself of those that get wronged. You took me away from my parents, and this is just good enough for you. You know what she did? She went to his wife and said, oh, if there was just some way that he could go back where I lived. There's a prophet there that could heal him. You know, folks, we have troubles come to us sometimes. My desire is, God, help me to go through it in a way that is pleasing to you. You know, in the middle of her troubles, she had compassion. She didn't say, I tell you what, if you'll turn me loose, I'm going to tell you a secret. I never see that he turned her loose. I don't know what the future was for her. But I do know what her attitude was toward him. If he could just get back to my country, willing for him to go back by himself and get the help that is needed. And I say, Lord, help me. Because you know what? These were people that were free and were taken into slavery. Think of Daniel. You know, it's so easy for me to see those results. But you know, there was a lot of time that Daniel had thoughts that he could make. When he was thrown into the lion's den, and the next morning the king came and said, oh, Daniel, are you still alive? Has your God kept you? Boy, you know, there's so many things that Daniel could have had just bounced right off of his mouth at the beginning. One of them could have been, what were you thinking? You're so proud of yourself that when somebody comes to you and says, don't let anybody pray except to you, you went with it. He didn't say that. What were the things that first came out of Daniel's mouth? O king, live forever. King, you can continue doing whatever you need to do. God has helped me out. Folks, I think that's what's important for us, because we can get bogged down in the details. But what I want to do is say, Lord, here's a choice that I have to make. And I choose you. It'll go against the flesh. It'll do it every time. But I choose you, Lord. There's a song that I would like for us to sing in closing. It's song number 393. It talks about sowing and reaping. And truly, that's what this is sowing and reaping. We've got this trouble come into our life. I'm going to make a choice of what to do about that trouble. This song says, should we be sowing briars and thistles? Where would the grain and the flowers find room? You know, those are choices that I make about things that have been done to me. If we are sowing hatred and malice, we cannot pluck affection's sweet bloom. Another verse says, gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness, it'll yield a rich fruitage never to cease. Sowing in meekness unto the Spirit, it's going to bring eternal blessings and peace. Says, soon we're going to gather what we are now scattering. That's done by choices that we make in our life. My desire is that God would walk with me, that I would walk close enough to him that I would be able to understand the direction this choice will take me if I go in that direction. I believe the Holy Spirit would like to guide each of us, but we're going to have to stop and get real quiet to be able to hear it. It says you'll hear a word behind you. When you get ready to turn to the left or you get ready to turn to the right, my decision on a choice that needs to be made about something that has been done to me, I want to stop and listen for that voice. Because that voice will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. When I was just about to go to the left or go to the right. The meeting started last week with, be ye ready. And I think this still continues as part of that. Be ye ready. The choices that I make each day are going to determine where I spend eternity. God help me.